All right. Well, God bless you all. Thank you for joining in. We're getting some physical details worked out here. Thank you, Bob. Daniel, bless your hearts. All of you on Facebook and free conference call. Of course, it's a blessing to be back here again. I'm not speaking with an accent, am I? But I do have been introduced, I would say, to some different styles of music, Southern Gospel being one of them. I'm so appreciative. This group was called Ernie Haas and Signature Sound. But the Gaithers, of course, many of you have had a lot of exposure to wonderful harmonies. And, you know, makes me think, this has been many years ago, but our Father in the Word, you know, he was just so instrumental with this group called the Victors. And he just loved those harmonious songs and that sort of thing. Just the blending of those voices. And this is kind of the modern day transition, I think, of all that. But, you know, it just causes you to remember so many wonderful things. And that will play into what I'm going to be sharing this morning. But I wanted to read a couple of quick stories here. And this is about a tourist who decides to visit a Native American chief who is famous for his perfect memory. He says, "Okay, chief," says the tourist, "let's test that memory of yours. What did you eat for breakfast on May 9th, 1972? The chief thinks for a moment and responds, "Eggs." The tourist replies, "Wow, that's incredible. You really do have a perfect memory," and then he leaves. 10 years later, the same tourist finds himself in the chief's neck of the woods and decides to pay him a visit. He enters the chief's home and respectfully greets him, saying, "How, chief?" The chief promptly replies, "Scrambled." Oh, my gosh. Here's another one. An agitated patient was stomping around the psychiatrist's office, running his hands through his hair, almost in tears. "Doctor, my memory's gone. Gone. I can't remember my wife's name. Can't remember my children's name. Can't remember what kind of car I drive. Can't remember where I work. It was all I could do to find my way here." "Calm down," the doctor said. "How long have you been like this?" "Like what?" Oh, gosh. So, anyway, the title of my teaching this morning is called "Don't Forget to Remember." Okay? Cute play on words, huh? Don't forget to remember. But how many people are always saying in their own minds or vocally outside, "I can't remember. I can't remember this. I can't remember that." And we do have so many things to remember in our lives. Appointments, anniversaries, husbands, wives, how to get where we are going, making a deposit in the bank, calling the dentist or the doctor, picking up the kids from school, birthdays, anniversaries, how to get somewhere, someone's name, where are my keys, where are my phone. How about passwords? How about phone numbers? 619-222-6068. How long do you think these guys have had that phone number? See? Who could call that number from memory? Look at those. A lot of people. You know what part of that is repetition. But most of us can even remember the phone number that we grew up with in our hometown. Right? 815-589-2146. Little old town in Illinois, 3,000 people, thousands of miles away from here. I remember the address of my home, don't you, your childhood home? You could probably drive there right now if you were back in your neighborhood. Yeah, well, it might not even be there anymore. Who knows? But anyway, in all of these things, you know, they have a place of importance. They really do. Because if you forget your phone, you will generally drive back home to get it, right? Who were we with last couple of days? That's happened. Somebody forgot something. We had to go back and get it. I can't remember who that was. But it must have not made a big impression in my mind. But, you know, if you fail to remember your anniversary or the kids' birthdays or something like that, generally there could be some fallout as a result of that. And it could cause frustration. It could cause issues with others. Or, you know what, we could get lost. But God does not want us to forget. It is a good thing God does not forget us. In spite of our actions, in spite of the way we think at times, if God's acceptance of us was based on our thought life, poor God, we would never be accepted in heaven. But God does not want us to forget and not forget what He has done and how we can expect Him to do it in the future. You know, as you walk with God, it's really important to remember the testimonies of others who have gone before us in the Bible. And also to remember the testimonies of our own lives. You have a history. You have a testimony. You have miraculous times where God has come through for you financially, with housing, with bills, with health, with you ministering to someone else, your prayers for someone else, and they got changed. Or maybe they came into a greater understanding of the Scriptures. God's wisdom, God's provision, God's healing. You know, somewhere along the line, God's timing made an impact on what we or how we did something or the result that we received from that. But remember the title of this teaching. Don't forget to remember. Because how quickly we forget. And the next time a situation or a circumstance comes up, do we respond based on the history of what we understand and know from God in our own personal experience, plus the testimonies of the Word? We're going to go and start here in Psalm 103. Psalm 103. And it's kind of cool, kind of interesting this morning. We're going to handle, I think, a concept that we deal with at times, and that is don't remember the past. Don't live in the past. Don't forget. Forget about those things that happened in the past. They're no longer realities. We're going to look at that a little bit further and maybe change our perspective on what our past really means to us. But in Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And what? Forget what? Not. Let's say it all together. Forget not. Forget not all His benefits. Who forgiveth all thy iniquities. Who healeth all thy diseases. Who redeems thy life from destruction. Who crowns thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Who satisfies thy mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Great exhortation from the Scriptures. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits. Yeah, Barney, but you know, that was Old Testament. That wasn't really applicable to us today. Really? I believe there's a scripture in Romans that talks and says, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. So there is a benefit to knowing and to understanding and reading and reflecting and meditating upon the testimonies of those who have gone before us and your own personal testimony of when God has worked so miraculously in your life.
Oh, how quick we are to forget. How quick we are. Verse 6, the Lord executes righteousness, judgment for all that are oppressed. He made His ways known unto Moses, His acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy towards them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. This was before the birth of Jesus Christ, right? That these words, now possibly they were prophetic. Actually, all Scripture is prophetic, isn't it? We have a more sure word of prophecy. Look at verse 14. He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. And as for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over, it's gone. And the place thereof shall know it no more. Life. Bam. Fleeting. Daniel and I were talking about this a little bit yesterday. What it must have been like to live to be 900. Have a child when you're 350 years old. What is that? I don't know. That's a lot of vitality, right? So I don't know when you move into middle age. Maybe you live to 900 or 350, you're middle aged, you know? We don't have to really deal with that because I think we've all come to realize that life is very fleeting and it goes by very quickly. But I want to say that the main point of the sharing is that we should live in remembrance of all that God has done in the past. You know, today our thoughts and actions become history. Every thought we think, every action we take, the moment they've occurred, they're already in the past. The thoughts you're thinking now, this video, the words I'm speaking, the moment they're accomplished, they're in the past. Thankfully, we now have audio recordings and video recordings so we can go back and review the past. And so I think we have to ask our questions, are our thoughts and actions in harmony with what the history of what God has done prior to today and including long ago? You know, it's not really probably the wisest thing to just live only for today. Actually, there's a scripture that talks about eat, drink, and be merry. For today, this may be it. So let's grab all the gusto we can. Live for today. And then be forgetful of the past. And disconnect from it. And yet, you know what? So many people do it. They have no interest in what God and His Son Jesus Christ have done throughout the ages and even up to now. People just don't care because, you know what? They're just living in front of what's in front of them. You know, I got to get up tomorrow. You may be thinking, I got to get up tomorrow, Barney. You know, don't go on here too long. I got to get home, get ready, get prepared. I got to get my clothes. I got to go to work tomorrow. God, and we don't even have time to really begin to develop this, but God was continually reminding those people who were not mindful of the past and saying things like, don't you remember when I parted the Red Sea? Don't you remember when I provided water in the wilderness when there was none? When I provided manna in the wilderness? How quick the Israelites were to forget. Do we need to read those records? No, we don't. You guys automatically already know what I'm saying. Because the Israelites, very quickly after the deliverance from the slavery of Egypt, had a move in their own minds and hearts to go back very quickly. And actually almost began to blame God for the deliverance that he provided from the slavery. And the slavery began to look attractive to them again. That they were willing to cause a revolt to return to the slavery that God had delivered them from in Egypt. This ring a bell? Yeah. It's important for us to not forget, to remember. Because what is that statement, Jeffrey? Maybe you know it. The New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. Isn't that what it says? The prophetic nature of the Old Testament became realities in the New Testament. So that would maybe behoove us to have somewhat of an understanding and to be mindful of those occurrences that happened in the Old Testament. I mean, there are many, many, many records where the Old Testament is quoted in the New Testament. Many, 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 many places. Something to think about. So our future potentially can evolve from our past. But without that understanding, we can certainly live without faith. Or like Jeffrey so admirably said, his title kind of took me a little off guard when I first saw it. Sloppy believing, sloppy results. I'm like, what? But then once I heard it, I began to really understand. Because we want to see history in light of our current reality. Otherwise, the potential exists for our hearts to really become hardened to the day-to-day realities of what we live. And we're going to cover a record where Jesus says these exact words to the disciples in light of their forgetfulness of a huge miraculous occurrence that had happened only days ago. Only days ago. And yet, they were already down on that senses level. All just so habitual, just to think down low. Remember those verses in Philippians chapter 3? You can turn there if you like. This is a classic verse. I've taught on it many times. You've taught on it. You've probably memorized it or re-temorized it. Philippians 3:13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but there's one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. You know, that looks like an exhortation to forget the past, right? And then I press on. But does that mean we should not live in the past? And I would say no. Because what Paul is referring to here is what lies behind, and that was about his own efforts to be righteous without Jesus Christ. Paul was the Pharisee of the Pharisees, right? These guys were all about being righteous in their own strength and in their own works. But that's not harmonious of what the history of what God has done. Well, of course Paul wanted to forget it. Put away all that stuff where he was trying in his own strength to be good enough. He wanted to forget it. Press forward in the history of what God had provided and live in harmony with that. And that is a challenge for many of us still. Paul did not forget that Jesus Christ shed his blood to release Paul and ourselves from the sin nature. Paul did not forget that Christ had taken hold of Paul on the road to Damascus and set him on the right way and called him into the ministry? Is that what he's talking about? Oh, that was in the... That doesn't matter now. Today's the day. I just live here for today. You know what? Paul lived every day in remembrance of what Christ did for him in the past. Paul no doubt believed the principle that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If we take the yesterday out of our relationship with Jesus Christ, we will lose our today and our forever with Him. And so we should remember our past with Jesus Christ. We had an experience, each and every one of us sitting in this room today, as far as I know, have had an experience with Jesus Christ. And in Romans 6:17, it reminds us, and we are exhorted to remember how we first obeyed from the heart that form of teaching, that form of doctrine which we were exposed to regarding the death, regarding the burial, and regarding the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is the doctrine that we are to bring into remembrance. And what that is saying is that we died with Christ. The old person we used to be was buried with Him. And a new born-again person was raised in newness of life. Amen? That's right. Romans 6, 3 and 4, that's what that says. We should never forget our beginning. And actually, in Hebrews 10:32, kind of a cool verse, it says, "But remember the former days after you were enlightened." Because we're just so geared to living now, in this moment. What's for lunch? What am I going to do? Our lives are just so encumbered many times with many, 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 many distractions. Mm-hmm. If we will begin again to remember our early zeal and struggle for Christ, we will strengthen ourselves for today and for the future. How many of you felt like you were quite zealous when you first came into a knowledge of the Scriptures? I was very, very, very zealous. Probably too zealous, if there is such a thing. I lived in a very small town in Illinois, 3,000 people. I was so pumped, so excited. We were doing some sort of public explanation about a class that we were running that would really help people. And so I got these self-stamped postcards, 250 of them. I got the phone book and I wrote out 250 self-stamped postcards to every person I knew. Of course, I wasn't living in that town. I was zealous. I didn't have a balance. I would just speak, and sometimes not with a lot of wisdom. But I was at least willing to put myself into that environment. And so we should also remember what we'll call the ancient story about what God has done since the dawn of time. You know, David said, "I'll remember the days of old. I meditate on all that you have done. I ponder the works of your hands." That's Psalm 143:5. I remember the things that you have done. The past and the experiences and the things that we have gone through, it does give meaning to today. And the past has built a strong foundation to where we are today. All of those occurrences, really, since Genesis 1:1, have led up to this point in time where we stand. And there's two other administrations still coming beyond this. We're only 5. There's 7. And the Bible story is connected. It's not disconnect. It's connected. And someone once said the story unfolds in the following way. Someone is coming, someone has come, and someone is coming again. And if we didn't know that story about someone is coming, then we wouldn't be looking forward to the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We celebrate today what is traditionally called Palm Sunday, the entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. That was the path of forgiveness. That was the path of redemption. He was beginning, sort of in practicality, the walk to the cross. If he didn't start that journey the second he drew breath upon this earth, but as a grown individual entering Jerusalem, he knew what was coming. And it wasn't a pleasant future, at least momentarily. And that someone, of course, who is coming is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You know what? From the beginning of time, his sacrifice for sins was prophesied. And the pivotal event of the past is the crucifixion of Christ, the death, the burial, the resurrection, the ascension, and the giving of Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. The very purpose for why Jesus Christ was born and came into this world to reconnect man to God. Without the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, as you know, we can't be saved. We cannot have Spirit. And it really exhorts us to remember the sacrifice. And it was made a long time ago. Because if we don't, we don't really live at all. Because our whole existence now as believers is about who we are. Our identification with Jesus Christ. You probably heard that once. You've heard it 100 times. And probably hear it 100 more times and maybe 1,000 more times until the Lord does return. Because we have a hard time getting it through our thick heads who we are. Now, we kind of jokingly say these words, I am what the Word of God says I am. I have what the Word of God says I am. You know, these words. But these are really true words. You know, when Jesus was gathered with his disciples at the Last Supper, he told those who were with him to do something. And that record occurs in Luke 22:19. I want to read this together. Luke 22:19. Says, and he took bread and he gave thanks, he broke it and gave it unto them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do what? In remembrance of me. It's one of the only, if not the only, memorial that we have learned. And it's certainly a significant memorial that we remember, we are to remember. In practice, commemorating the sacrificial work of Jesus Christ and what he accomplished for mankind. And it holds wonderful grace. It holds wonderful power as we partake and remember. But is it the only thing that we are to remember? The accomplished work of Jesus Christ in the picture of history spiritually is here. There's future history coming, and there's future history that has passed. I want to look at Mark chapter 8. It's such a great, to me, such a great subject. Don't forget to remember. How many of us have said, we were celebrating a little bit the other night down at one of the local establishments with some of the guys, and in the course of even being there together. I'll bet the words forget and remember were mentioned 15 times. I mean, we can't rely on Google that much. I mean, I tell somebody, you know, we ask questions today we would never ask a long time ago. Because who would have known? Who would have known the answer to that? You know, how many miles is the Earth from the moon? I don't know. Do you know that just as a random fact in your mind? You might. Somebody might. But Joe and Jeffrey and some of these other guys. Anyway, I picked the wrong question. But it just seems like we weren't asking those kind of questions. Anyway, Mark chapter 8, starting verse 1. In those days, the multitude being very great, having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I empathize with these people. I'm having compassion on the multitude because they have now been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away fasting to their own houses, they're going to faint by the way. For many of them have come from quite a long time, long ways away. No, I don't want to send them all the way back to El Paso with no food. Oh, and by the way, these people were walking. Verse 4, and his disciples answered him, from whence can a man satisfy these men with the bread here in this wilderness? And he asked them, how many loaves have you? And they said, 7. He commanded the people to sit down on the ground, took the 7 loaves, gave thanks, broke, and gave to his disciples to set before them. And they did set them before the people. And they had a few small fishes. He blessed and commanded them to set also before them. So they did eat and were filled, and they took up the broken meat of that which was left, 7 baskets. And they that had eaten were about 4,000, and he sent them away. Wow. Quite a miracle. Wouldn't you say? Yeah. And straightway he entered a ship with his disciples, came into the parts of Dalmatia, and when the Pharisees came forth, began to question him with him, seeking of him a sign from heaven, tempting him. And he sighed deeply in his spirit and said, why does this generation seek after a sign? Verily I say unto you, there shall be no sign given unto this generation. He left them, entered into the ship again, departed to the other side. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, neither had they in the ship with them more than 1 loaf. And he charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. What? Now I have recently heard this. You can draw your own conclusions from this, that this has to do with a religious spirit and a political spirit. Pharisees, Herod. What is that? The religious hierarchy of the day and the political hierarchy of the day. These are things that both embroil and embrace and distract people, if you haven't noticed, to the nth degree. Try YouTube sometime. He's saying, beware. Interesting context. And they reason among themselves, saying, it's because we have no bread. Wow. And when Jesus knew it, he said unto them, why reason you because you have no bread? Perceive you not yet, neither understand? Has your heart yet hardened? Have ye your heart yet hardened? These are almost identical words that God spoke to the Israelites because a miracle happened right in front of their eyes only moments ago. And they automatically reverted back to sense knowledge. God had performed a miracle for them on their behalf, basically right in front of them. And the next time a similar situation came up, guess what? What? We don't have any bread. How in the heck are we supposed to eat? What, you forgot the provision God made the last time? And he says, verse 18, having eyes, see you not? And having ears, hear you not? And do you not what? Don't you remember? Only a little bit of time ago, verse 19, when I broke the five loaves among 5,000, how many baskets of fragments took you up? They said 12. And when the seven among 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments took you up? And they said 7. And he said unto them, how is it that you don't understand? How is it that you can forget so quickly God's ability to work in the realm of the supernatural and in the realm of the miraculous? We have to raise our vision. We cannot allow the circumstances and situations of daily life to get between us and the Father. And how frequently does that happen? Almost all the time. I mean, it's just, but to have that wherewithal, that perspective, that, you know what? We saw God perform this huge miracle just not too long ago. And Jesus said, have you forgotten so quickly? Are your hearts that hard? Well, as you go on to read this record, and we won't look at it right now, he went on to teach them that he was the bread of life. And that if anyone should eat of that bread, they would not perish. You know, the point is, we must be sensitive to remember how God has performed in our lives. You would not be sitting here today had someone not had the wherewithal, the love, the boldness, or whatever it took to say something to you about God. God has performed miraculously. Each and every one of us could stand up here and give a huge testimony of what God has done in their lives. Some of you have been on the brink of death and have come back with a greater testimony. Right, Al? Amen. Other of us have seen, maybe not that dramatic of a situation, but we have seen the hand of God work in our lives over and over and over again. And yet how quickly we forget to remember. You know, like the disciples, our hearts can get hardened too. As a matter of fact, I'd say that's something the enemy would just love to see continue to happen in the hearts of minds of believers, is just to get them hard and desensitize people. That we forget, God parted the Red Sea. He provided water. He provided manna. He's healed so many. Because it's all about the senses knowledge, the senses information upon which we are so prone to believe first. And because of the experiences that somehow have become so magnified in our minds, and therefore our expectation to see God work is not our first response. You know, we all, and I'm challenging myself as well, we need to be quick to remember and not forget so quickly. And honestly, it's our birthright as believers. We're God's inheritance. We're God's inheritance. I'll close out here, but you know, the records in like Hebrews 11 and Hebrews 12 that talk about those who have gone before us as examples of faith. Why put those in there? Cause us to remember. Don't forget to remember what God has done. God has worked. We can raise our expectation. Amen? Okay, let's close again in Psalm 103. Such a wonderful record. Read a little bit of it again. I don't care if you do forget your passwords. I don't care if you do forget your keys or the directions or whatever. Let's not forget where we came from and where we are today. Verse Verse 2, Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Like somebody once said, well, we can't remember them all, right? But there are some we can remember. Who forgives all thy iniquities, who heals all thy diseases. Whether I ever see that as a reality or truth in my life, it does not negate the truth of the Word. Who His own self gave His own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed, right? 1 Peter 2:24. I remembered that. That's a good thing to run through my mind. I hope that's the right place. I'm pretty sure it is. Who His own self gave the sacrifice. Verse 4, who redeems thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Take a deep breath. That sounds like a pretty good thing. Verse 7, he made his ways known unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. And here, how about this? The Lord is merciful, and He's gracious, and He's slow to anger, thank God, and He's plenteous in mercy. Verse 10, He has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy towards them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Jesus walked that path of redemption. We begin to really commemorate that today on what is traditionally called Palm Sunday. He started walking down that path of redemption for you and I. And we get eternal redemption. Once and for all. Eternal life is guaranteed. You can't lose it. You can't sin enough to get rid of it. You may wake up some days and feel like you don't have it, but that doesn't change it. That doesn't change it, thank God. And so, don't forget to remember. Don't forget to remember. Heavenly Father, thank You for the wonderful joy and privilege of being able to reflect and look and understand and open our hearts to You today, this day, Father. To reflect and meditate upon the work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and all that He's accomplished. And that it enables us now to have joy, have freedom, have liberty, have rights and privileges as Your children. And to really take a stand and be strong upon who You've made us to be, Father. And when all the proverbial cards are dealt, we know that we are Your inheritance and that we have a home that awaits us, Father, and this could be the day of that dawning. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.